Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's
Hello
Jim.
And welcome to this, the RTC Weekly Download with your host, Jim Dolan. Today we'll start off with the spooky stylings of Raymond Edward Johnson, popularly known as Raymond, on Inner Sanctum. We'll hear about the 8 Steps to Murder from 1946.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soups present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. When you heard the sound of the squeaking door, it was exactly 30 seconds past the hour for murder. But don't worry. We won't keep you waiting much longer. Even as I talk to you now, our hero and his victim are standing beside me, wishing I'd dispense with formalities so they can get to more enjoyable pursuits, like murder.
Now, isn't it funny, Mr. Host? I feel the same way in hot weather.
You mean the heat makes you feel murderous? Now, this doesn't sound like our Mary.
Please don't misunderstand me, Mr. Host. I mean the heat makes me want to dispense with formalities so I can get to more enjoyable pursuits, like serving myself and my friends tall, cooling glasses of iced Lipton tea in my backyard under the trees. What grand iced tea Lipton's makes. So gloriously full-bodied, so full of zip. And it's that brisk Lipton flavor that does it. A flavor that's never flat, but always spirited and satisfying. You see, brisk is the word the tea experts themselves use to describe the livelier freshness of Lipton's. And those same tea experts agree that in iced teas, brisk flavor is extra important. That's why, for the best iced tea you ever tasted, you should always insist on Lipton tea. It's good iced because it's brisk in flavor. So keep a frosty pitcher of iced Lipton tea always on hand.
Thank you for those cooling thoughts, Mary. Now into our sizzling thriller, 8 Steps to Murder, written especially for Inner Sanctum by Emil Teppelman. This is the chronicle of a carefully calculated crime. A crime so twisted and subtle that it had to be blueprinted in advance. As Barry Kroger, in the role of Mark Durfee, the newspaper columnist, tells his story, we shall watch this crime develop, step by step. 8 Steps to Murder.
When I decided to kill Basil Archer, I went about it like an architect laying out the plans for a complicated building project. Only a fool leaves the details of such an undertaking to chance. I calculated every risk. I weighed every possibility of failure. I blueprinted each of the 8 necessary steps I had to take. My first step was to get a suitable weapon. I went on Monday morning to the office of a pawnbroker I knew on 48th Street.
Good morning, my friend. How are you, Mr. Krug?
Come in, Mr. Durfee.
Thank you. You know what I want?
Indeed, yes. I have it here, exactly what you need. It's fully loaded. You can spin the barrel and see for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Nice revolver. Looks a little awkward.
Well, you said you wanted it with the silencer attached.
Yes. How much for this, Mr. Krug?
$250.
What?
That is the price, Mr. Durfee. You know, it's against the law to sell these.
Well, yes, but 250.
You will pay it, Mr. Durfee.
Well, all right. You know what I want this gun for.
But naturally.
You know, I'm planning to kill someone with it.
But naturally. Otherwise, would you want a silencer on it?
You wouldn't be above a little honest
blackmail, would you, Mr. Krug?
Please, do not point that gun at me. It is loaded.
I know that.
What are you going to do?
I regret this, Mr. Krug. I'm going to have to kill you.
No, I swear to you.
Save it.
You'll be sorry for this. You will make a mistake. You will make a slip.
There'll be no mistake.
There will. There will. You cannot think of everything.
I have thought of everything. This is the first thing.
You cannot think of everything.
I left Krug's body where it lay and put the silenced revolver in my inside pocket and stepped out into the air. I stopped, stuck still. The rain suddenly coming down in buckets. I hadn't counted on it starting to rain. My alibi for Krug's killing was carefully planned. Everybody at my hotel thought I was still in my room, sleeping off a binge. The carefully staged a drinking spree last night. But if my clothes were wet, they'd know I'd been out this morning.
You cannot think of everything. You cannot think of everything.
I hurried back to my hotel, walking in the rain. It was too dangerous to take a cab. I sneaked in the service entrance, the way I'd come out, and walked up the one flight of stairs. As soon as I got in my room, I took off my clothes, dropped them all in the bathtub, and started the shower going. And then I went to bed. About noontime, when the phone rang, I knew it was the clerk downstairs calling because I'd left a call for 12. I let the phone ring. That was step number 2. A few minutes later, just as I expected, Ryan, the house detective, let himself into the room with his pass key. I pretended to be asleep, dead to the world.
All the cockeyed shenanigans. Boy, what a load he must have taken on last night.
I heard Ryan go into the bathroom where the shower was still running, and then come out, muttering, and approach the bed.
Wake up, Mr. Duffy.
What? Oh, my head.
Boy, you must have been as high as a kite last night. You undressed in the shower. Left all your clothes in the bathtub. They're soaking wet.
I was safe. My tracks were completely covered. This was Monday afternoon. According to my schedule, Basil Archer was to die on Friday evening at 10 o'clock sharp. I was now free to take step 3 in my blueprint for murder. For this purpose, I went to Basil Archer's office. He was a theatrical producer, you see. His office was upstairs over the famous old Fantasy Theater, where Archer's new play was to open on Friday evening. As I opened the door of Basil Archer's office, I was quite cool. I had rehearsed myself well. Basil was seated at his desk talking to Gregory Sutherland, the young and handsome author of the new play.
Hello there, Mark. Glad to see you.
Hi, Basil. Just dropped in to get a line on the new play.
You know Greg Sutherland, the author?
Sure.
Greg, this is Mark Duffy.
We've met.
I tell you, Mark, Storm Over the Highlands is going to be the biggest hit of the season. Greg's written a fine play.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Basil. Ought to go over big, especially with your wife doing the lead. Nina's a great actress.
Confidentially, that's one of the reasons why I'm doing Storm Over the Highlands. Just suited for Nina.
Nina will be wonderful. Well, I guess she likes working with you, Mr. Sutherland. It's always a good idea for the author and the star of a play to work together.
Oh? Have you and Nina been working together, Greg?
Well, yes, Mr. Arch. We sort of thought if we could exchange ideas. I never saw two people put their heart and soul into a job like Nina and Sutherland here. They spend every minute they can together.
Now, look here, Durfee, I don't like the way you said that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sutherland. You know I didn't mean anything. It's only what people are saying, seeing you both together so much.
What's this all about, Mark? This is the first I've heard of anything.
Oh, forget it, Basil. Oh, by the way, here's a package. I want to give it to Nina on opening night. I wonder if you put it in your safe for me till Friday.
Sure, if you want me to. I'll put it here, on the bottom shelf, next to the payroll money. Come in Friday evening during the first intermission, and I'll get it out for you.
Fine. Are those all packages of money on the bottom shelf?
Yes. Over 100,000 in there. Receipts from my other shows. Here you are, Mark. All safely locked up. What kind of a present is it?
I'd rather keep that a secret till Friday.
From Archer's office, I went straight to his apartment. I knew Nina would be home, and it was important that I talk to her now.
Hello, Mark. I've been wondering if you'd come today.
Well, I told you I would, Nina.
I've waited so long.
Oh, darling.
Oh, Mark, how long will it be now? How much longer?
Only till Friday, darling. After Friday, you'll be free of him forever.
And then you and I...
There's work to do first. This is only the fourth step. There are four more to go.
Mm.
Everything's working according to schedule. The next step is up to you.
What must I do, Mark?
Oh, I've started the ball rolling. Basil's beginning to worry about you and Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be encouraged to suspect as much as possible. You've got to be seen around with Sutherland as frequently as you can.
Oh, that'll be easy. Sutherland's hardly more than a kid. He worships the ground I walk on. But I'd rather be with you, darling.
Hmm. There's 5 days more, Nina. And then we can be together. Always. Outside Nina's house, I stopped for a moment with a queer sensation in the pit of my stomach. It was raining again. It reminded me of Mr. Crewe.
You can't think of everything. You can't think of everything.
I seemed to hear Krug's voice drumming in my ears. Drumming.
You'll make a mistake, Mark Durfee. You'll make a mistake.
I won't, Wolf. I won't.
You'll make a mistake.
Oh, poor Krug. You know, a pawnbroker's life is not an easy one, and Krug took such an interest in his business. And he never suspected Mark Durfee. In fact, he probably liked him for his redeeming qualities. Though, come to think of it, Krug was pretty lucky at that. Mark didn't steal anything from the store but the gun, so Krug lost practically nothing but his life.
You know, Mark's story gives me an idea. I'd like to draw up a blueprint myself.
Yes, Mary, another blueprint for murder.
Oh, now, Mr. Host, I'd call mine a blueprint for summer refreshment. And I'd like to do it in sound. First, I'd start with the creak of porch rockers on shaded summer streets and the murmur of backyard gardener in the lilac dust. And with the teensters home from school, there'd have to be some sweet swing music, of course. And just to make my blueprint of summer sounds complete, you'd hear the tinkle of ice in tall, cool glasses. Glasses of refreshing iced Lipton tea. Yes, iced Lipton tea just goes with summertime fun and enjoyment. Lipton's has such a wide-awake flavor. The whole family will love it. And that flavor, folks, is brisk. Yes, that's the secret. Lipton's brisk flavor is what makes iced Lipton tea taste extra good. So for a delightful treat to beat the heat, serve iced tea. And for the best iced tea ever, insist on Lipton tea. Brisk flavor, never flat.
Couldn't have done better myself, Mary. But now, let's catch up with our architect of murder. If Mark Durfee's blueprint works out according to schedule, our death rate should go up sharply to about one per person. Let's see. He should be up to his fifth step by now, shouldn't he?
Tuesday was a clear day without rain, and I felt better. I knew now that I couldn't make a mistake. In 4 days, Basil Archer would die as planned.
And now for the fifth step. An easy one for Mark Durfee because he's a newspaper columnist. It merely requires dictating a little item for his column into the dictaphone at his desk.
Oh, there's a new play opening soon, which should be a huge success if the author and the leading lady can do anything to make it click.
They're working harder on it than the producer himself. It looks like they've clicked with each other, too.
And now, the sixth step. 8 steps to murder, and this is number 6. Just a couple of telephone calls to set the sixth step in motion.
Hello?
Hello, Nina. Did you see the paper this morning?
Mark, darling, it was perfect. I've had a half dozen phone calls. Everybody knows you met Sutherland and me.
Oh, good.
Basil saw it, too, at breakfast this morning.
He did? How did he like it?
Oh, he just looked glum. I don't think he believes it.
All right. Now, here's what I want you to do. Get hold of Sutherland and make him take you out tonight.
Uh-huh.
There's a fast little nightclub out on the island, the Pirate's Hole.
I know the place. Kind of disreputable, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Well, now, look, you get Sutherland to take you there. You think you can manage that?
Oh, he'll take me anywhere I want to go.
Good. Be sure to be there tonight, about 10. I'll take care of the rest.
Basil Archer speaking.
Oh, hello, Basil. How are you?
Mark Durfee. Now, look here,
now,
Mark.
Look, wait. Take it easy, Basil. I know you want to bawl me out about that piece in the column.
I thought you were a friend of mine.
Oh, look, Basil, that's why I printed that piece. I don't like what's going on.
Just what do you mean? If Nina feels like working with the author of the play, she's...
Sure, sure, it's... that's all right. But look, why keep things secret?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you ask Sutherland if he has any plans for tonight.
I know what plans he has for tonight. He's going to stay home and work on some lines in the last scene.
Oh, is that so?
What are you hinting at, Mark?
I'm hinting that you take a run out to the Pirate's Hold. You know where it is? Out on the island? And you'll see how hard Sutherland will be working on the last scene. Hello?
Mark, this is Nina.
Oh, where are you?
I'm calling from the Pirate's Hold. Basil was just here.
Oh, God! Did he find you with Sutherland?
Well, naturally. I did just what you told me to.
I'm fine. Everything is set for tomorrow.
You're sure everything will be all right?
Oh, yes, quite sure. Now, this is what I want you to do tomorrow. Just before the show opens, you'll take sick.
Oh.
Basil will have to put in an understudy for you.
Yes, I can do that all right.
Then you'll dismiss the servant.
Yes.
Now, remember this clearly, Nina. You're going to be my alibi for the hour between 9 and 10. Understand?
I understand, Mark.
I'll be over at 9. But I'll leave a few minutes later by the back way. Only you'll swear that I stayed till a few minutes after 10. Is that clear?
Yes, Mark. And good luck.
When I rang the doorbell of Nina's apartment Friday night, I knew that every step I'd taken thus far had been right. I couldn't fail.
Mark, I was afraid you weren't coming. I was afraid something had gone wrong.
No, nothing's gone wrong. You sent the servants away?
Yes, they're all gone. I'm alone. I can swear you were here till after 10.
Good.
How are you going to kill him?
With this.
A gun. What's that bulky-looking thing on it, on the muzzle?
It's a silencer, Nina.
Oh. Well, you better hurry, darling. You haven't much time.
There's one thing more that I've got to do here before I go.
Why are you pointing the gun at me?
Because I'm going to kill you, Nina, dear.
Oh, no, Mark, I don't like that kind of joke.
It isn't a joke, my darling.
Mark, are you crazy?
You little fool. Did you think I'd go to all this trouble, planning this thing step by step? Did you think I was doing all of this for you?
But I thought you loved me.
You thought I was committing murder because I loved you? Oh, Nina, you're just another step in my blueprint. Now you've served your purpose, just like Krug. Krug was step one, you're step 7.
Mark!
I made sure Nina was dead, and then I hurried out and went to Basil Archer's office. I had to be sure my timing was right. This was the 8th and the final step. I knew Basil would be in his office during the first intermission, so
Hello, Basil.
Oh, it's you, Mark. Come in. I want to talk to you.
What about, Basil?
Mark, what's going on between Sutherland and Nina?
Oh, no, Basil, you're not a fool.
I can't believe it.
Well, look, if you want proof, suppose you get that package out of the safe, the one I left with you.
The package? What's that got?
Well, you get it, and I'll show you.
Well, all right. Well, here's your package. Now, what do you want to show me?
Still got all that cash in the safe, huh?
You know, I always have it here.
Yes, I know.
Say, what are you doing with that revolver?
Look, Basil. Look into the muzzle.
What the...
That's just right.
Oh!
I opened the package Basil had given me. It was only an empty box, nothing in it, but there was something here I could put into it now. I stepped across Basil's body, knelt before the open safe, and took out the neatly tied bundles of money and put them into the empty box. $100,000. It was well worth the months of planning, the careful blueprinting. I was a rich man! Now I was ready for the finale, the last bit of routine business, which would finish the whole thing off properly. I picked up the phone and dialed police headquarters. It wouldn't be too difficult to imitate Basil Archer's voice over the telephone. I'd rehearsed that, too.
This headquarters.
Hello. This is Basil Archer speaking. I've just killed my wife.
What's that?
My wife and Sutherland, they were planning to run away together. They stole all the money from my safe and were going away. So I killed her. So now I'm going to kill myself, too.
Now wait, Mr. Archer. Now wait a minute. Don't do anything rash.
I've softly replaced the
receiver. Just stay there till we send a radio.
Now, everything was set. Carefully, I placed the revolver in Basil's cold hand and left no prints on it because I was wearing gloves. I picked up the package and walked out into the hall. But in the hall, I stopped short. Someone had just come into the building downstairs. I peered down and I saw Gregory Sutherland coming up.
Mr. Archer, are you up there? You better hurry, the second act is starting.
Sutherland was coming up the stairs. I couldn't get out. But I wasn't trapped. Oh, no. There was a porter's closet down the hall. I tiptoed over to it and slipped inside just as Sutherland got to the landing.
Mr. Archer, are you in there?
Sutherland was in Basil's office now. He'd be finding the body. This was my chance to sneak out. I opened the closet door.
Come on, Kitty. Archer's office is one place up. Maybe we can make it in time. The guy said he was going to kill himself.
The police had come in answer to my telephone call. Now I couldn't get out. There'd be a crowd outside, and I'd be seen leaving. I had to stay in the building. Still, I wasn't trapped. I knew just what to do. Instead of leaving the building, I would walk out of the closet and into Basil's office right after the police. They'd think I'd just arrived. I stepped out of the porter's closet. I started for the door of Basil's office. Then, suddenly, got a sick, weak feeling in the pit of my stomach. I stopped stock still. I'd almost walked into my death. It was raining outside. Suppose I'd walked in there with my clothes all dry, claiming that I'd just come in from the street. They'd know that I'd been hiding in the building all the time. The rain, that rain, it almost tricked me again.
You can't think of everything. You'll make a mistake.
I can, you old fool. I'll show you. I hurried back into the porter's closet. I knew how to beat this, too. I turned on the faucet in the sink, splashed and drenched myself from head to foot. Well, now I looked as if I'd just come in out of the rain. I stepped out of the closet, went down the hall, entered Basil Archer's office, dripping wet. The two policemen were standing over Basil's body with Gregory Sutherland. They'd all looked up as I came in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Derby. Sorry about this. It's your friend, Basil Archer. Committed suicide.
Oh, no. Oh, it's impossible, Sergeant Moran. Basil wouldn't do a thing like that. Why,
Who found him?
I did, Mr. Durfee. I came to call him for the second act.
Oh, this is terrible.
He's taken an open and shut case. Killed his wife, then came here and knocked himself out.
Oh.
And what's more, Mr. Sutherland?
Yes?
Before he knocked himself off, he phoned headquarters and said you'd stolen money from his safe.
Well, that's a lie. Wait a minute. Sergeant. Mr. Durfee.
Yes, Sutherland.
How did you get yourself all wet like that?
Oh, well, you try not getting wet in that rain.
Rain? What rain, Mr. Durfee?
Suddenly I went clammy all over. I saw that none of them was wet. Their clothes were all dry. But how could that be? They'd just come in out of the rain.
What rain, Mr. Durfee?
Well, you can hear it, can't you? It's pouring rain. Just listen to that thunder.
Thunder? Rain? Good heavens, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Don't you see, Sergeant, he's been in the building all the time, trying to make us think he just came in and he got himself all wet for nothing. Sergeant, I bet you a dollar he murdered Archer.
You're crazy. Well, it's pouring outside. You can hear it yourself. But just listen to that rain beating down. The thunder.
You poor sap. That isn't rain you hear. It's my play next door. Storm over the Highlands. Remember? And those are the sound effects in the second act.
So, it looks like Mark Durfee was all wet. In fact, he got himself so soaking wet, he practically liquidated himself. But cheer up, I'm sure he won't spend more than 6 months in jail. And that wouldn't be so bad, would it? If they weren't going to execute him afterward.
Poor Mark. If only someone had told him.
Told him what, Mary?
Well, look. Mark took 8 steps to get in the cooler when you really only have to take 1 step to get cool. Sure, just step down to the grocer's and get a large economical package of brisk Lipton tea. Then keep a pitcher of iced Lipton tea always on hand and help yourself to its cooling refreshment off and on throughout the day. That's all there is to it. And you'll find Lipton's makes perfect iced tea because Lipton's is never flat. It always tastes delightfully tangy and full-bodied. That's why this summer, when you want iced tea, you should be sure to use the tea with the brisk flavor. Ask your grocer tomorrow for Lipton's.
And so ends our little essay on the modern methods of murder. Of course, our little essays on murder are only for the select few. As a matter of fact, only one person in every 10,000 is capable of murder. Mm-hmm. And speaking of statistics, due to our high birth rate, the population of this country is increasing faster than Inner Sanctum can kill 'em. Very discouraging. Very discouraging indeed. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Panic Stricken by Mitchell Wilson. And next week, the makers of Lipton Tea and Lipton Soups will bring you another Inner Sanctum story directed by Hyman Brown and called Bury Me Not. Now, there's a plot for you. A plot right in the graveyard. Trouble is, the rain's come and uncover it. What becomes of the body? Well, now, that's anybody's guess. But come around next week. We'll be right at the graveside, and we'd like to have you drop in. Until then, good night. Pleasant dreams.
Now that summer's here, keep cool by keeping out of the kitchen. Serve Lipton's noodle soup. It's quick and easy to prepare and gives you a delicious soup in a jiffy with so much less work and trouble. It's the perfect hot dish to serve with cool summertime suppers because Lipton's is luscious noodle soup with real old-time chicken-y flavor. Besides, Lipton's noodle soup mix costs less and makes lots more than the usual canned soup. Ask for it tomorrow. Lipton's Noodle Soup. And tune in next week for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Let's check out the predictions sometime in World War II with Groucho Marx.
Groucho Marx! Thank you, Harry Von Zoforth, for that Zozo introduction. Harry's right about one thing, though. Everybody in Hollywood is thinking about the Academy Awards. I say everybody is thinking. Personally, I'm thinking about the blonde who moved in the next house to me. What a blonde. What a house. What a front porch. What a rear stoop. That girl's got to straighten herself out. And I might as well straighten myself out right now and get to the business at hand, which is to present our first mail call Oscar to that South American singing sensation who is rapidly becoming one of your radio favorites, a star of two continents, and the business section of Bakersfield. Here he is, Carlos Ramirez. Welcome to Mail Call, Carlos.
Gracias, señor. This is the biggest honor which has been given to me since my days as a gaucho in South America.
Gaucho means gaucho. Ah, that must be a wonderful life. I can see myself now. Just a minute till I turn this page. A band of gay young caballeros thunder across the starlit plain and gallop up to the bunkhouse door.
And you are leading this band?
No, I'm laying on the bunk holding my stomach. It saves me right for eating enchiladas with pickled herring. But enough of this. Thank you, Carlos. That was very Ramirez. And now to continue the Mail Call Awards. We would like to present a man who has made the most amazing predictions of the past year. Those of you who have heard him on the radio know he is absolutely fearless, has no political affiliations, and tells the truth as he sees it. He is here with us now to give you his predictions about the course of the global war in the future. Here he is, that outstanding commentator, Leon Heater Belasco.
Thank you very much. After a careful study of the global war, I would like to make the following predictions for the coming year. My first prediction: Gramuch, Eastern Front. Игробольная грачна сихлих вавельная крапечна сихлих румич грим. To the left flank. А пропокольная крачна сихлих румич ухнич Lower Hungary. Абральная грабечна сихлих румич ахнич to the right flank. Ухнич румич Upper Hungary. Ихрольная грабечна сихлих румич in the middle. Ахрольная грабечна new offensive. Крапутальная красна сихлих румич ахнич very Hungary. I predict Gramuch, Paris, France. Игробульная грачна сихлих румич ахнич in the coming year. Агральная грабачна сихлих румич ахнич new set of postcards. Gramuch, Berlin, Germany. High-ranking Nazi general says he can win the war if храпильная грачность, а пропагальная громоздность их рихумич on one hand, а пропагальная красность их рихумич, кровельная гречность on the other hand. Ихрульная грачность их рихумич, пропальная кропачность on a third hand, but he can't find a man with three hands. Predict that this year, Ихрульная грабачна сихрих ломич ахнич кровонич, absolutely no fog in Los Angeles. And I also predict, Ихрульная грабачна сихрих ломич, the Dodgers will win.
Thank you, Leon Belasco. That certainly clears up many things.
Next, we have a syndicated radio show from the 40s, the Damon Runyon Theater. Today's story is entitled Earthquake, and it's from 1949.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, Earthquake. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. One night I am sitting quietly in Good Time Charlie's place on 48, talking with Charlie, when we hear quite a commotion going on outside. I and Charlie listen for a minute, then he says to me,
"My goodness, that sounds to me like the gendarmes are raiding New York as a whole.
Those sounds are getting closer.
I wonder who they are after now. It is getting so a citizen has to be careful or..."
Look! Look who comes in.
Holy mackerel. It is Earthquake.
Back way, Charlie. It open?
Earthquake, why do you come into my place and draw coppers?
Shut up. I want to know. Is the back way clear?
Yeah, yeah.
Earthquake, what is the matter? What do you do that sets the coppers playing games with you?
How do I know? Might be any one of a dozen things. I got no time to recollect.
They are at the back, too, Earthquake.
Yeah. Ain't no other way out, is there?
Short of cutting a hole in the roof, you are trapped.
Me? Not me. Broadway, Charlie, get back out of the way.
You are not going to shoot it out.
Are you able to think of a better way? Get back.
Earthquake, think of the innocent bystanders.
Nobody gets hurt but coppers. Now stand back and keep out of the road. They're coming in.
What else is there to do? I and Charlie duck down and wait for the party that is coming up. Earthquake pulls two Roscoes from his waistband, sizes up the defenses he has got, and waits. And what happens, I will tell you in a minute.
Back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Earthquake.
Like I say, Earthquake decides to shoot it out. And I say right here and now that I wish no part of being a copper when Earthquake is doing the shooting it out. In the first place, he is never afraid of anything. In the second place, he gets his name Earthquake because he is the strongest, biggest guy in the world. I think about this while I watch it and wonder if I will read the morning papers ever again.
Get ready, Broadway. Here they come.
What happens? They go away?
Ah, they got a trick up their sleeves. Charlie.
What?
That alley in back. Where does it go to?
It ends up backstage at the theater.
Uh-huh. They are figuring out a plan. Okay, so will I. I figure they got more men in front than back. Okay, I will try the back.
You are going?
I got no chance in here.
Goodbye.
This'll teach them to round me up. Which way do I run to get to the theater, Charlie?
To the right.
Okay, now listen. I'm going to fling this door open. When I do, I'm going out shooting. You two duck down and you'll be all right.
This I will have to see.
When I count three. One, two, three. Get out of the way, cover!
He went out the back that way. That way. Fire, you dopes. Hold your fire. There's a crowd of people at the stage door.
He got into that crowd, Lieutenant Brannigan. We didn't have a chance.
You hit him?
No, sir, but it's Mulcahy, Lieutenant.
Mulcahy, bad?
I think so, Lieutenant. Over there.
Mulcahy. Mulcahy.
Bad, Lieutenant.
Just as bad as it could be.
Johnny. Johnny Brannigan.
Huh? Oh, Broadway.
Mulcahy's dead, huh?
Yeah. An Earthquake got away.
But Johnny, we can do nothing. He comes in
it's
here...
It's okay, I know. O'Brien?
Yes, sir.
Take care of this, will you?
Yes, sir.
Mulcahy. A wife and two kids, Broadway.
Yeah, I know.
Killed by a no good... Charlie.
What, Johnny?
Where's your phone?
Right over there.
Thanks. Broadway, New York will be too hot for Earthquake now. You'll leave. You'll get out somehow. But to help me, Hannah, I'm not going to let any other cop in the world get him. I'm going to bring him back myself if I have to turn in my shield and do it on my own. So help me, Mulcahy.
And when he says that, Johnny Brannigan's face is not good to look at. He is a tough copper at best, but the way he looks then makes me very glad my name is not Earthquake. Well, Johnny leaves after calling in a report. And the next I hear, he has gone after Earthquake. The department gives him permission. In fact, they are glad Johnny takes the job, because if anybody can bring back Earthquake, it is him. Well, 5 months go by, and I see or hear nothing of either Johnny or Earthquake. Until one day, I am sitting in Mindy's when who walks in but Johnny. He comes to my table and sits down.
Hello, Broadway.
Johnny, how are you?
Fair. How's the sandwich?
Fair. You gone quite a while, Johnny.
Yeah. 5 months, 2 weeks, 3 days.
Uh-huh. Do you have a successful trip?
I guess you'd call it that.
I see. Do you care to join me in a sandwich?
No, thanks. I'm a little off my feed.
Yeah, I see you do not look so good. You have got very deep circles under your eyes. And you lose weight. Maybe you are sick, huh?
In a way, yeah. Want to hear about it?
I will listen.
You're wondering about Earthquake.
Well, I guess you can say that.
I found him.
Oh, I read nothing at all about it, Johnny. And I watch the papers every day since you leave.
You'd have to read the official reports to get anything.
Oh, I see. Where is Earthquake?
Central America.
Central... Okay, Johnny. If you do not wish to tell me, it is all right.
I told you I'd tell you. And I'm telling you. As a civilian.
A what? Johnny, you mean you are no longer on the force?
I don't know. I have to wait until the chief finishes reading my report. Maybe I'll still have my shield, maybe not. It all depends.
On what?
On whether they think I got Earthquake or not.
Johnny, look, are you going to tell me what happens or not?
Sure, sure. Remember much about Earthquake, Broadway?
Oh, can I ever forget? He is the strongest guy in the world. Why, I remember the time in the Club 23 when he picks up little Mitzi in one hand and Harry the horse in the other and bangs their heads together like they were nothing but two very small dolls.
Uh-huh. I once saw him bend the bars at the jail.
Yeah, but why are you asking me all that?
Because his strength is the reason I didn't bring him back with me.
Johnny, are you or are you not going to tell me the story?
Yeah, yeah. When I left New York, I got a lead that Earthquake went to New Orleans. I hopped a plane after him. Sure, he went by another name, even dyed his hair and raised a mustache. But there was one thing he couldn't hide, his strength. He was proud of it, Broadway. Liked to show off. It was as good as a perfect set of fingerprints. Well, in New Orleans, I got a lead. There was a girl I went to see.
Who is it?
Special delivery letter.
Letter for me?
Yeah.
Hey, what's the idea?
Take it easy. You're not going to get hurt.
What do you want? Who are you?
Anybody here with you?
Sure, sure. Lots of people. Now beat it before I call a cops.
You already got one. Take a look.
I ain't done nothing. What do you want me for?
I don't. Now step aside.
Why, you...
You're alone, huh?
Yeah. Now look, cop, I tell you, I ain't done nothing. Now get
Where's your boyfriend?
Boyfriend? I ain't got one.
You had one. A big guy, calls himself Earthquake.
I never heard of the guy.
Maybe he had a different name. Maybe he took another name.
What's the matter?
Where'd you get this?
What do you care? Can't arrest me for having a horseshoe in my flat.
I know, but this one's bent straight. Do it yourself.
Smart guy.
Look, the guy who gave you this is wanted for murder.
Hey, look, I didn't know the guy at all. He just took me out a couple of times, that's all.
And gave you this? As a keepsake?
Yeah. He was awful strong.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. All he said was he was going someplace where they could use a muscle man. He said he was going to make a lot of dough.
That all he told you?
Yeah. Except for one thing.
What was that?
It wasn't nothing he told me. It was just that he kept trying to learn Spanish.
Spanish?
Yeah. Now, that's all. Honest, I didn't know nothing
okay,
about it.
Okay. Here. This is all you'll ever have left of him. Just keep leaving clues, Earthquake. Just keep leaving them. That was my first lead, Broadway. My first good one.
You mean that Earthquake keeps trying to learn Spanish and says he is going someplace where they can use a guy like he is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it still seems to me that you are looking for a needle in a haystack. Or maybe no needle at all. There are a million places Earthquake can go.
Sure, I knew that. But I kept on thinking of Mulcahy. That kind of made my brain work better. I got an idea. I went to see a guy at the Federal Building in New Orleans.
Federal Building? What for?
I had an idea, and the idea was pretty good, because the guy there told me...
I haven't got much to tell you, Lieutenant. As a matter of fact, I'd rather not say anything until given permission.
Look, the guy I'm after killed an officer. An officer with a wife and two kids. I gotta catch up with him.
Mm. Well, from what you told me, Brannigan, your friend is heading for Central America.
Yeah, why?
He's learning to speak Spanish. He said they... Whoever they are could use a good muscle man.
A gunman.
Yeah. Well, maybe a revolution would be the answer.
If he'd get dough out of it, it is the answer.
He would. But I'm not at liberty to tell you the country we suspect. However, here's a map of Central America. Now, this country, and this, quite peaceful. But...
What's the matter with the one you skipped over?
Nothing, yet. But there might be. Very soon.
Yeah, I see. Okay, thanks. And you didn't tell me a thing you shouldn't have.
Well, that is the story Johnny Brannigan tells me so far. But it is not all. Not by a long shot. And what happens when Johnny goes to Central America is something I will tell you about in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Earthquake.
I am very anxious to hear the rest of the story that Johnny Brannigan is telling me. So I listen while Johnny goes on.
So I went to Central America. It was hot, Broadway. Awful hot. That jungle was hot.
Jungle? What are you doing in a jungle?
I said I'd go through, and I did. The authorities knew a revolution was cooking, and they knew where to look for the guy stirring it up. Well, we're about 2 days in when the captain in charge says to me...
Well, maybe this is as far as you should go, Senor Brannigan.
Why? What's the matter?
Oh, nothing, Senor, but it might be dangerous. After all, I am responsible for you.
Yeah. I got a responsibility, too.
You want this man very bad. No, he's very bad.
Yeah, I want him very bad.
I see. But if you wait here in this car...
No, I'm going in with you.
You do not trust me, senor?
Sure. But something might happen to Earthquake before I get to him.
And you wish to take him alive, is that it?
Captain, there's a very hot seat waiting for him in New York State. I'm saving him for that.
Ah, yes, I see. Well, we had better be going then.
That's right. I just... can't wait to see Earthquake. I just can't wait. I'll skip the next couple of days, Broadway. But we caught up with the guys who were cooking up the revolution.
Uh-huh. But do you find Earthquake?
Yeah, they caught him. And they were very careful to bring him to me alive. I'll never forget that, Broadway. The look on his face when he saw me. There he was, big as ever, stripped to the waist. I swear he looked like the biggest guy in the world, sweat pouring out all over him. Took 5 men to get him. Then he saw me.
Brannigan!
Hello, Earthquake.
You! How do you like this? You!
Not surprised, are you?
Knowing you, no.
We got a date in New York, Earthquake. A real hot one.
If we get back.
We will.
Maybe. When do we start?
Right now. Captain. Captain.
Hey, Lieutenant Brannigan.
You ready to go back?
Well, senor, there is difficulty.
Huh? What?
We must go farther into the jungle. We do not capture everyone.
Father, but I thought...
I'm sorry, senor, but you can go with us.
Does Lavla be more fighting?
Si, there is.
In which case, I could lose my prisoner if you're outnumbered.
Well, there is that possibility, yes.
Okay. I'll take him back myself.
I will let you have some of my men, Lieutenant, but I do not know the size of the force I will meet. You see...
Yeah, sure. Okay, Captain, thanks for everything.
For nada, Senor Brannigan. Please to excuse me now.
All right, Earthquake. On your feet, let's go.
Sure, Johnny. It's a pleasure. Just you and me through that jungle. Just you and me. Tough going, Johnny.
Keep in front of me.
Scared, Johnny?
I can always put a hole in your head with this.
But you will not do it, Johnny. Because you want to see me in the hot seat. You want to lead me into New York by the nose and be a big hero. Nah. You won't plug me, Johnny. Will you?
Keep going.
You know, I can walk like this for days. Just days and days. How about you, Johnny? Shut up. Even with handcuffs on, I'm doing better than you. I might even be able to bust out of these bracelets.
Stop right where you are.
Sure. What's doing, Johnny?
Look, I'm going to take off those cuffs.
Huh?
Here, catch the key. Now, unlock those cuffs and don't take a step toward me.
You'll plug me if I do?
Yeah. But not to kill, Earthquake. Not to kill. I'll put one where it'll take you a couple of days to turn in your checks. Ever see that done?
Sure. Okay, Johnny. Now what?
Put your hands behind you. Slip the cuffs back on.
You're making it awful tough on me.
Like you did on Mulcahy's family.
I ever tell you I was sorry I do that?
Shut up! Put those cuffs back on.
Sure, Johnny.
Now drop that key. Drop it. Stand still. With your back towards me.
No, that's right, Johnny. I locked them.
Now, let's move.
You're forgetting the key, Johnny.
It stays right here. Because if anything should happen to me, I want to see you get out of this jungle with your hands locked behind your back. So we moved on, Broadway.
Yeah. But go on, Johnny. What happens?
For 3 days, we walked through that steam bath. At night, I stayed awake and watched him.
What does he do?
Sleeps like a baby. And on the fourth day, we got out of the jungle and into a little town. There was a railroad junction there.
Well, then you are safe. Your troubles are over. We're sure you... Yeah, but wait a minute. What does happen to Earthquake? You say there is a railroad?
Yeah. Well, there wasn't a train due for 2 days. I parked Earthquake in a local jail. It was one of those jails with walls 3 feet thick and the big wood beams across the windows and doors. He was safe there. Then I went to get some sleep. Broadway? I slipped. Then all of a sudden something wakes me up. Come in. What's the matter? What's going on?
He's an earthquake, senor. You must get out of the house.
Earthquake?
Si. Get out, senor. Get out. You will be killed here.
The jail. I gotta get to it.
Madre de Dios, senor. We will all be killed.
Come on. I gotta get to that jail.
We will all be killed.
This way, out into the street. Okay. Stay out in the open. You'll be all right.
No, do not leave me, senor. Do not leave me.
All right, come on.
The jail is this way.
I know. But just a few more steps.
Well, out of bed early, ain't you, Johnny?
Where's the jailer?
He takes off at the first rumble. Looks like a real welcome for me. Earthquake and all.
You're getting out of there.
I'll take my chances in here, Johnny. And there ain't no way you can get me out.
You're coming out.
Yeah? Only if this place busts wide open, and I don't think it will. Look at the railroad tracks, Johnny. All heaved up in the middle.
Senor, look.
What's the matter with you?
The convent. Huh? The convent. What? They will all be killed in there.
Convent? Where? Right across the street, Johnny. Looks like everybody's trapped.
Eyes full of children will be killed, all of them.
Hey, there are kids in there.
Yeah, they're in a bad spot. That doorway's the only way they can get out, and it's sagging in right now.
Please do something, senor. Do something.
I can't do anything.
Johnny.
Shut up.
Look, if that doorway can be held up, there's a chance they'll all get out. But if it caves in, they're trapped. That roof's going to crash in a minute.
What can I do about it?
Nothing. But a guy with a lot of strength can brace himself against that door and maybe hold it off for a couple of minutes.
You
think of anybody else big and strong enough to do it?
I'm taking you back to New York.
Oh, sure. I'll let them kids and nuns in there all be killed. Okay, I'll sit it out in here, I'm safe.
Senor, please, look, the door's getting smaller.
Shut up,
please.
I could hold it up for a couple of minutes, Johnny.
You can't get out of that jail.
You got a gun, shoot the lock off.
No.
Them kids in there are going to be smashed to bits, Johnny.
Okay, come on.
Sometimes,
get moving, Earthquake. Maybe even you aren't strong enough.
I can hold that up standing on my head. I could do better if my hands was loose, but you threw away the key.
Get in the doorway.
Yeah. Now look, I get myself wedged in like this, back against one side, feet against the other. Now get those kids and nuns out under my legs.
Okay. You kids, come on this way. Come on, you kids. Come on, keep moving, will you? Come on, kids, get out. Come on.
Hey, Johnny, there's a couple of them laying down in there. Hurt, go in and get them.
Kids, yeah. All right, kids, come on. Up you go. Come on. That's all of them. They're out.
There they are.
All right, that's great. Let's go. Come on.
Are you kidding? What for?
Earthquake, come on, I said.
Johnny, while you was in there, I could have got out and left the whole thing busting on you. But now, you better beat it, Johnny. I'm staying.
So you win after all, huh?
I got no wish for the hot seat. Better this way. Tell Mulcahy's family I'm sorry. Well, get out. Get out before I pull up and let this whole mess down on you. Johnny.
Well, that is the story that Johnny Brannigan tells me. But the story is not finished yet. And how it ends, I will tell you in a minute. Up to where I tell you. Then he sits there for a minute before he says,
"So, that's it, Broadway.
That is the end?"
"Yeah. All but one."
"Excuse me, Lieutenant."
"Huh? Oh, what's up, O'Brien?"
"Well, the chief told me to give this back to you."
"Hey, that is your shield, Johnny."
"Yeah, my shield. I guess the chief liked my reports. Okay, O'Brien, thanks."
"Oh, it's all right, Lieutenant."
"So, I'm still on the force, even if I didn't bring Earthquake back with me."
"Well, look, Johnny, there is one question I would like to ask."
"Yeah? What is it?"
"You and me know that Earthquake is a very strong guy. Now, you left him holding up that doorway like you said. Okay. It seems to me that knowing Earthquake, he is probably still holding it up."
"He is very strong. Yeah."
"So, you walk away without him. Do you put that in your report, too?"
"Yeah. With just one more thing."
"And what is that, Johnny?"
"As I walked away, Broadway, there was one more big shock. It was such a heavy one that when I looked back at the convent, I see even a guy as strong as Earthquake isn't able to hold it off."
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, Earthquake. Listen in again next week for the Damon Runyon Theater. The Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville, and the story is adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Carstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.